good to see you again here on another Bible study day. And we've got a real good...
Our text today, scripture, comes from... This was probably written by a student or a protege, so to speak, of Isaiah. Those of us who receive Christ as our Savior, we all become a part and are adopted into that family.
And God is going to give you an opportunity to be good, kind, to elevate, to help somebody.
All right, we're going to get right into our lesson today. And we've got a real good lesson. This is our Wednesday Bible study, and I want to welcome you to our Wednesday Bible study. And as you can see, we're back in our usual setting. On last Wednesday, of course, brother just had to rough it. We were at the desk, and I appreciate the fact that God has provided even the technology to get the word out. But let's go right to our lesson for today. Our lesson is found in Acts chapter 16, verses 11 through 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 30. Let me say this again. Acts 16, 11 through 15, comma, verse 40. Then 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 30. Our topic for the day is, our subject is showing generous hospitality, showing generous hospitality. I don't know about you. I don't know where you live in regard to the country, but if you live here in Texas, as you know, last week we were blanketed by snow and ice, unlike anything that we have seen in modern times. And many of us, let me show you how crazy it was. There were a lot of people who were without electricity, then eventually became a water issue, no water. And then there were those who had everything. Their lights and their power never went out. Those individuals, I thank God for them. They either opened up their homes to people who were without, or they brought food to warming centers and all of those kinds of things that we had. Showing generous hospitality. It's amazing how it takes a crisis in order to pull us back together again. On last week, we were not Democrats. We were not Republicans. We were not any particular skin tone, skin color, ethnicity. We were all people trying to make it, and we leaned in. I praise God for him because he puts that in the human spirit, and that is what we all experienced on last week. We were squeezed out trying to work, trying to serve and help people. I think the municipal workers, you know, the people that we always kind of overlook, folks that helped to keep the city going. I mean, they stood, they got right in there and they worked it out. The church members, the deacons, on this past Sunday, we had a situation where a deacon put out a call and the fellow showed up at this house and they had cleaned the house out in about an hour, really less than an hour. By the time I got there, they were done. Hello, somebody. That was probably on purpose. But anyway, I'm just saying, you know, because they know I'll tear up some stuff, you know, and not trying to do it. But hospitality, being hospitable, being the kind of person who welcomes other people in and takes care of them. In our lesson today, we will meet another sister, a woman by the name of Lydia. And I want you to know this about Lydia. Lydia was a prominent woman in the Bible, in the Word of God, in particular in Acts. You will find that she was an entrepreneur. Oh, I said that pretty proper, didn't I? She was an entrepreneur, and she was apparently well off. She was well respected, and you'll see later on in the lesson where she was a lady who had the old-fashioned circle meetings, y'all. But you'll notice where her meetings were. They were down by the riverside. And here this lady was calling together people, and they were, at the time, of course, having prayer meeting. And let's see what else the lesson will say to us. So here, beginning at verse number 11, the Word of God says, therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia and the next day to Neapolis. Here, you'll note that Luke, who is our writer here, the historian, the physician, is talking to us. He's chronicling, if you would, his own a journey with the Apostle Paul. He was there with Paul. You had, if you would, Troas itself was a major seaport on the eastern shore of the Aegean Sea. You had Paul and Silas and others were there. Of course, Luke ended up being there as well, as I have stated. And one of the things that you would want to know is that Paul was traveling. Paul was traveling. Paul was preaching. Paul was sharing the word of God. And verse 12 says, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. We were in that city abiding certain days. Paul now had crossed over into Europe. He was into Western Europe. Macedonia, of course, today would be Turkey, parts of Turkey. So here he is bringing the word of God. And the Bible teaches us that this was a chief city. Paul wasn't just at a little small town. This time he was at a chief city, a city named after Philip of Macedon. Philip of Macedon, the father, if you would, and the former king, later on of Greece, but he was the father of Alexander the Great. This particular city was noted for its wealth. They had gold mines. Literally, they had gold mines there in the city of Philippi. It was a chief city. Later on, it became a Roman colony, and it was a place where the veteran soldiers could go, and they would retire there, and the Roman government would give those retired soldiers tracts of land, and they would work the land until their day was done. Also in this particular city, Philippi was the easternmost point, if you would, the Via Ignatia, which is the great Roman highway. A 535 mile long highway. And one of the innovations of the time is that the highway was a paved highway, y'all. It was paved. It was cement. Mind-boggling. Those who have traveled to those parts, as some of us had the opportunity to do that now, y'all, 5-6 years ago, actually, as I think about it, we could see the Roman architecture borrowed, of course, from the Grecians or what have you. But the technology, the infrastructure is simply mind-boggling, which made it easier for the missionaries to carry the word from one city to the next. Verse number 13 says, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. Amen. Let me tell you, there was no synagogue there. It was normally the practice of the Christians back in the day. Paul in particular, Paul took the word right to the synagogue. He took it right to the synagogue. Paul would stand up, amen, and preach a sermon. And Paul, amen, would tie the Torah, the Old Testament, into, if you would, he would show the unfolding of the gospel message through Jesus Christ and how Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. But here, you'll notice, since there was not one, there needed to be a given number of Jewish men. In particular, at least 10 married men would make a church. Amen. Let me just go on and be frank right now. If we waited back in the day on a bunch of men, amen, I'm one of them, to gather for church in order for there to be a church, we'd be in bad shape. Because usually, amen, go on, fess up, fellas, usually it was mama, it was the sisters, it was grandma, it was big mama who was really involved in the church. Usually big mama, mama would save papa. Amen. Either papa would follow her down to the church because he was jealous. He wanted to make sure that wasn't anybody hitting on mama, or papa would be evangelized by mama at the house. See, the sisters back in the day, they hung in there. Man, them jokers would be knocked down, drag out, fighting. But the sisters would stay there because the conditions were so bad. I ain't saying that was right. I'm just laying it out. And what happened was that mama had faith. Mama would pray. And again, I don't know folks' condition. I'm just talking some show enough history here where if mama didn't get the check, on Friday, bless his heart, Papa would drink it up by the time you got to a Monday, and that is because Monday he'd sober up and going back to work, but Mama wouldn't have any money. Mama would then, of course, on Friday payday, Mama would get the check, give Daddy his allowance. Daddy go do his thing. Mama would make sure that the kids ate and make sure that the bills were paid. I hope I'm not offending anybody. All I'm saying is we thank God for praying women. What you will see in verse number 13 is the fact that when they went on the Sabbath day down by the riverside, there were women there and the women were praying. Note what the scripture says, where prayer was wont to be had, where prayer was wont to be made. The women would come together because they knew that on the Sabbath day there should be some preaching taking place. There should be, amen, some praying taking place. There should be some gathering, some worshiping taking place. And since there were not enough men in Philippi, married Jewish men, to do this, here you had these women who would gather and they would, hallelujah, have worship. They would have a prayer meeting down by the riverside. So now watch this. Paul knew where they were. How in the world did Paul knew where they were? Well, because it was some folks in the city saying, now, if you want to know where the worship is taking place, go down by the riverside. I'm going to lay down my burdens. Where? Down by the riverside. Amen. Down by the riverside. That's where they went to have prayer. They who? The sisters went to have prayer. Verse 14 says, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, of which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Paul, amen, was led by God. Paul was led by the Holy Spirit. Paul, on his journey, his missionary journey, Paul noted here, went by the riverside where the women were, and there was a certain woman, not just any woman, there was a certain one. I told you she was an entrepreneur. There was a certain woman, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira. Let me help you understand something about the city of Thyatira. Thyatira was a place where it was noted for its commerce. It was noted as a location, a chief location where they dyed fabric and material. And you need to know that if anybody was a seller of purple, they came by that particular color from sea urchins and from the seashells and from the water where they would get them. They would grind them together and they would get the color purple. It was hard to come by. So she was, let me see, let's put her in perspective. She was like a person who sold mink coats. She was like a person who sold, you know, I can't say Lord and Taylor anymore because they out of business. Let me see, I can't say Neiman Marcus, they out of business. Anyhow, she was a person who sold very expensive clothing. She was noted for that. And watch this. She had a franchise in Philippi. This was an industrious woman. This was, amen. And watch this. I'm going to show you just how industrious she was. The word of God says here that this particular sister, amen, she heard the word of God. She was a worshiper before Paul showed up. Now, let me make that clear. So that means that either she was of the Jewish faith herself, amen, or she was a Gentile who worshiped Yahweh, stay with me, or she was a proselyte, amen, which means that in regard to her studies, her practices, she would, if she could get to the temple of Jerusalem, she was there. All right. Which means she was possibly a convert already of Judaism if she was not Jewish herself. But what is important is learning that she opened her heart to the word of God. Let me tell you why preaching and teaching is so important and why you don't turn people out of church, because you don't ever know who needs to hear a certain word on a certain day. Amen. When you stand up and preach the word of God, you don't know whose window of opportunity is open at that particular time when there is a word that they need to hear. You just stand up and you just teach it. You just stand up and you just preach it. You just stand up and deliver the word of God. Let me even move from the church house. I told you now that back in the day, mama used to, in many of those cases, be the one who converted the whole household. Because mama would be teaching and mama would be preaching. Amen, that word. I know back then they didn't want to hear women preaching, but listen, God bless your heart. Women were empowered by God. We learned this about four lessons ago. Empowered by God to proclaim the word of God and to make clear what thus says the Lord. Amen. So the Bible says that she opened up her heart. And here's the next thing. Once you open your heart, she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. See, it's a difference between a person who comes to church every Sunday and say, Reverend, you sure did preach a fine sermon. But they go back Sunday evening and Monday and living like they don't know Jesus. It's a difference. The text here says that she attended. Amen. In other words, she was intentional about changing her thinking. She was intentional about changing her lifestyle. She was intentional about changing her mode of operation. You understand what I'm saying? So when you hear the word of God, if you do not change your way of living, and in order to do that, in order to break an old habit, you've got to be intentional about creating new habits. You got to create new habits. For those who say, I believe that God has called me to preach the word, I say, well, have you been saved? Because you can be a fine orator, but if you're living a raunchy life, amen, all you're doing is making a mockery of God yourself. And you are going to, as my pastor used to say when I was a kid, you're going to bust hell wide open. So you don't want to be in that case. You want to hear the word. You want to respond to the word of God. And when you respond to the word of God, you want to attend to those things in which you have those things that you heard. Now, verse number 15 says, and when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Watch this. After she had heard the word of God, listen to me, I'm getting ready to give you the formula. After she had heard the word of God, then she attended to what she heard the preacher say. Then she submitted to baptism. Amen. And back then it was water baptism. It was immersion. She submitted to that. But okay, now don't turn me off because I said she was immersed. I understand there's some tradition. They sprinkle all of that. Amen. God bless you. We are not going to be arm wrestling over whether you've been immersed or sprinkled. Here's why we Baptists immerse. We immerse because it symbolizes your death, burial, and resurrection with Christ. Your death by getting in the water. Your burial by going under the water. Your resurrection by being brought up out of the water. It symbolizes that. Baptism is an ordinance of Christ. Christ commands that we be baptized. So if you're immersed, if you're sprinkled, God bless you. You know, that's just like saying to a person, asking a person, you know, I'd say to my kids back in the day, did you, you know, you're stinking. You know, go in there and take a bath. Now, I was brought up taking baths. We didn't have showers in our house. Some of y'all did, you know, but we wasn't there. We just didn't have that. We had a bathtub. And in my great grandma's house, we had one of them big old tin tubs, you know, that. And check this out. Check this out. If she had to bring in the water, you wanted to be the first one in the water. You know, because if you were second, third, fourth, you in the dirty water, but you're still taking a bath. Are y'all with me? So I say to my kids, go take a bath because you're stinking. Amen. So I, then being the kind of daddy that I was, I'd smell them again. And then they'd say, daddy, I took a shower. Okay, son, you were sprinkled. You took a shower, but still you went through the bath, the bathing process. Are you with me? Baptism. All right, now I've got some Baptist friends who's not going to like what I just said. I just want you to know that the woman submitted to baptism. Amen. And after she submitted to baptism, the word of God says not just her, but her household. This is important. a brother said to me today, and he's right about it. You know, any Christian who says, I'm all right, I'm not cussing, I'm getting ready to say something. Any Christian who says, well, I got my religion on time, and everybody else is going to go to the devil, you know, go to hell. Something is wrong with your religion, because there ought to be a burning fire in you that causes you to want to save your children, save your friends, and save your enemy from the burning fires of hell. Are you with me? You ought not be satisfied. You ought not be satisfied with being the only one that's going to get into heaven. All right. So when God has brought about a change in your life, the folk around you ought to see the change, and they ought to become infected by it, by you. You are contagious now. They want to be like you. And in this particular case, it was her and her household. But I want you to understand. I want you to hear the language here in verse number 15, because I'm believing that Lydia wasn't just at the house. Lydia owned the house. You missed what I said. Lydia wasn't just at the house. Lydia was running the house. And the scripture says that she was baptized, her household was baptized. And then Luke says in his writing, she besought us, or she went looking for us, because, you know, the brothers was really, you know, Paul was a tent maker. So, you know, they probably stay in the tents. But this woman was in a house. Y'all know it's different when you're living in a house versus a tent. Amen. The scripture says she went looking for us, and she was saying, if you believe that I've been born again, that's all she's saying. If you believe that I'm a child of God, then you all will come and into my house, and you'll stay in my house. And the scripture says that she constrained them. In other words, she made them. Y'all remember, and again, I keep saying, do you remember? Bless your heart. Some of you are too young. You don't even have the memory. Let me tell you about how it used to be. Long ago, here, even at Bethlehem, Sister Evans and I, we in our 20s, literally in our 20s, and Bethlehem had a whole lot of senior adults in the place. And as a matter of fact, I'm here in the chapel, the very chapel we were in back in the day. And you would have the Sister Briscoes, the Mother Shepherds, and Lord Sister Johnson and Sister Powell. They would constrain us after church service, because we was, you know, I mean, you know, we had no money, you know, and we were a little proud, you know, we wouldn't be begging for no food, you know, we go to McDonald's, you understand what I'm saying? But Sister Lawson, Gladys Lawson, and the name's gonna keep popping up as I say them. After the benediction, I wasn't even the pastor, I was the associate, but they knew that we lived in North Arlington, and they would constrain us. They would say, no, y'all going to come to the house after church, and y'all going to eat with us. And you know, we say, well, mama, you know, bless your heart, you got all them folk in the house, everybody ain't going to fit in there, you know, but ain't no need of us being bougie, because our grandparents and parents, we came from little small houses, you understand? Man, we get in that house, y'all have heard me tell this over and over again, we get in that house and get around the table, we'll eat on the coffee table, we'll be sitting on the floor, wherever, and Lord, they would feed you, and you were so glad that they invited you to come and eat with them. Amen. They made them come. If you've been born again, you ought not have to tell anybody. People ought to see it in you. Amen. That's what the lady was saying. If you see Jesus in me, then you know that I don't have any ulterior motives by inviting you to come and stay in my house. I want, she didn't say, I just want you because you're a good looking fella. She said, I want y'all to come and stay with me. She said, judge me now. If I am who you think I am, then come and stay with me. That's hospitality. I said on last week, you know, we need to get back there. Last weekend, and I beg in Jesus' name that we don't have a spike in COVID cases or anything like that, because some folk were without electricity, but you were afraid to go to anybody's house because of what's going on right now. But I had one of our members that say, Pastor, I told those people, I said, baby, look here, y'all are cold in that house. Now, you can stay in that house and freeze to death, or you can come to my house. Y'all stay over there. I'll stay over here. Keep your mask on. Y'all get to come to the house, but keep your mask on. I'm going to spray you down with Lysol. Keep your mask on. But I'm making my house available to you. And here's another thing. People know if you mean it either. They know if you mean it, rather. They know if you mean it, if you're hospitable. It's just something about you that people can see in you. Saying to a young man today, brother, you have an entreatable personality. In other words, you're approachable. You ought not have to be fake or phony. Either you're real or you're not. Some folk, they invite you, but they really don't want you. You understand what I'm saying? And you get that vibe real quickly. In this particular case, this lady was inviting them. Verse number 40 says, and they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. So between verse number 15 and verse number 40, y'all know what happened. Paul, Silas made some people mad, it made the coppersmith mad, because here they are preaching the word of God, and it was bad for the copper business, because they were making those little figurines, and we saw some of them in South Africa when we were there, where people have their little deities in a window, and Reverend Hornsby, as a matter of fact, got scared, and he sent me in the house, and I said, man, it's your turn to go in. He said, but you the pastor. That's just an aside. When y'all see him, ask him about it. He will tell you the whole story. Amen. But anyway, I think that what happened was it was bad for business. There was this woman who would go around, and actually the woman had the Bible says she had a spirit on her, and the spirit. You know, it's bad when the devil knows a Christian before a Christian knows a Christian. Amen. Because here's this woman who was being used by these men. She was being pimped by these men. And she said, Paul and Silas, I know who you are. These are followers of Jesus Christ. These are men of God. She was just blasting the whole community. Paul had another strategy. She was telling everything, right away. And Paul turned and blessed the woman. Now they thought it was a curse because there goes their money with this woman. But blessed the woman, and the woman hushed. Well, of course, the pimps. And I'm just being plain here, because anytime you're using somebody for money, you're pimping them. So her two pimps. Amen. Now, you ain't gonna see pimp in the Bible, but these two guys that were using this woman went to the authorities saying that these guys are stirring up trouble. And of course, from there, they threw them in prison or what have you. And y'all know what happened late in the midnight hour in that Philippian jail where the Holy Ghost got to going. They got to preaching and singing. Let me tell y'all something. Have you ever start thinking about the goodness of God and just how good God's been to you? And you had one of those songs on the radio that come up and remind you of a sure enough worship time. I don't know about y'all, but I'm having worship withdrawal. I'm trying to be real patient in regard to us coming back to worship and all of that. I really am, and not giving anybody a hard time. My other colleagues the same way. But at some point you get worship withdrawal, and man, those songs get to going, and you get to singing them. Then you start thinking about the goodness of God. You mess around, get happy. Then your car starts swerving. You have to pull over. Hey, I ain't playing. I'm serious. You have to pull over and just praise God. I'm talking about a praise break. Here, amen. They had a praise. They had a sure enough praise going on in the prison. The jailer was going to kill himself because he thought the people had ran off, because if the authorities had got there and the folk had run off, they were going to kill the jailer. But Paul said, we are here. We ain't going anywhere. And Paul, Lord Jesus, the Bible says that he and Silas went. They converted the man in the man's own house. Man cleaned him up. Hello, somebody. And then the next day they went out to the Roman went out to the authorities, and they told Paul, they said, we're going to whoop you. Paul said, you know what? This was one of those times when Paul said, when they were talking about really whipping them with those spiked whips. Paul said, oh no. Paul said, I am a Roman citizen. Scared everybody. Amen. But the scripture says that even after that ordeal, verse number 40, they still were able to go back to the house of Lydia. Amen. And be taken care of. Isn't the Lord all right? And then we go to 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 30. The word of God says, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Okay, here you'll note where you're dealing with these Corinthians. Now, bear in mind, I told y'all that Achaia, Corinth, was about 50 miles from Athens. These were philosophers. These were thinkers. And they were used to real smart people. You know, they were used to those individuals who love to pontificate. And Paul here, as we have the shift, Paul is now talking to them about their calling. And he says to them, you know, and you know how some people can get real bougie. Amen. Whereas, you know, I've got this formal education and I've got that formal education. They are not going to ever tell you that they are from the hood. They're not going to tell you that they're from the ghetto somewhere, that they're from, you know, Podunk, Texas. They ain't going to tell you that. They're going to call off the nearest big city and say they're from there. Amen. Ain't bit more from Houston as the man on the moon, or from Chicago as the man on the moon. They from East St. Louis. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? But what Paul is saying, amen. And I'm waving my hand. So anybody from East St. Louis, God bless your power to you. Amen. I was born in Sunnyside, Houston, Texas. Wasn't born in the suburbs, and I ain't ashamed of mine. Amen. Because when I look back over my life and see where God has brought me from, I can attest to this. Your calling was not many wise men after the flesh, not mighty, not many noble, are called. In other words, I want you to know that when God called you out, he called you out from an ordinary existence, amen, to extraordinary causes. That's the kind of God that we serve. Paul here now, of course, in Corinth around A.D. 52. He's gone back there, A.D. 56. Now, Paul is there and he's helping them to understand. I know the kind of people y'all look up to, but I want you to know that God will use anybody. And that ought to make you shout, knowing that God will use anybody. Verse number 27, he says, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Amen. Paul says, God being omniscient, God being omnipotent, God being, when I say omnipotent, all powerful, God being omniscient, that means all knowing. God being God can take and flip the script on you. The very people who you think aren't going to amount to anything are the ones who end up leading everything. God just does it that way. The very ones who people look down on, the very ones who's running barefoot through the country, the very ones, amen, who had to go out and get water from a well, or the very ones from the projects, or the very ones who was living under a bridge with their mama and their daddy, the very ones living in a car, are the very ones who God will endow with a spirit that will cause them, amen, to actually bud, grow from that experience and become the very people who can bless whole communities. God doesn't always operate along humanity's rational means. God does things in an irrational way because he is God. He took the foolish things, things that don't even make sense, the weak things of the world, things that people who you say there can't be much to them. Amen. And you know, have you ever been the victim of that? You ever been a victim of somebody sizing you up, underestimating what God has placed in you? Huh? Amen. Amen. And then let me tell some of you, let me help you right now. Stop being ashamed of where God has brought you from. Amen. Stop being ashamed of where God has brought you from. As a matter of fact, you thank God. As a matter of fact, point people to where he brought you from. And that ought to be your testimony moving forward in life. Look what God did for me. And if he did it for me, he can do it for you. Michael Evans, for real? Him? Pastor Michael Evans, him? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't you know you have people jealous of you because of the way God has blessed you? They thought that you weren't going to amount to nothing. You know, your daddy was a drunkard, your mama, la 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 la. You know, and they figured that you wasn't going to amount to anything. You might have been a dope addict. You might have been a prostitute. I don't know. But God brought you out. Ain't he all right? God takes, look at the next verse. God takes, hallelujah, God takes the base things of the world and things which are despised have God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. God can take you from nothing to something. Now here, in order to be correct, biblically and otherwise, he's talking about body parts. You know, those body parts that's ugly, the ones you cover up, are most important. He is. That's what he's talking about. Go check your commentaries. But it's also with people, too. You better be careful about, I'm 54 now. I'll be 55 in a little bit this year. And you remember, do you remember the folks who you used to think was ugly in high school? Have you seen them 40 years later? I mean, you thought they was bone ugly. But Lord, look at them now. You saying, oh my gosh, if I had known then. Amen. Well, you did know now. 8 marriages later. Hello. Those ugly ducklings and they become swans. The kid that was in the back of the class, the one that had the toe up clothes and the one that had the hand me down. That was most of us, so we couldn't point at anybody. The one that had the matted hair. Have you seen them lately? God takes the base things of the world and things that are despised. You remember how people used to pick on you? They used to pick on you because you didn't have the toys that the other kids had. They picked on you because you lived in another side of town. They picked on you on the bus and they picked on you all the way home. They picked on you. But ain't the Lord all right? Hallelujah. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. God has a way to bring those things that were nothing into something. Won't he work it out? Amen. Let's come on home now. That no flesh should glory in his presence. See, God's upside down plan ensures that not a one person can claim or can receive credit for their own salvation. Amen. Amen. We are saved by grace. It's kind of like the vaccine. One of our deacons, Deacon Charles Grooms, and I love him. Deacon Charles Grooms, we want to call this weekend, and he received his vaccination, and this man pleaded with the brothers, say, brothers, y'all, come on now, come on y'all, get this vaccination. Here's the truth, and I'm not being racial, I'm being truthful. 3-5% of individuals who are being vaccinated are ethnic peoples, whether they are Latino, Latina, African American, or whatever. But fewer numbers are the ethnic minority. Watch, let me show you how backwards it is. Because lately, but you understand what I mean. Most of the folks dying. Have you looked at the pictures lately of the 500,000 people who died in the United States? More of them are people of color, but people of color aren't in line. Child, I'm gonna wait. You remember Tuskegee? Y'all ain't in no Alabama. We in Texas. Amen. Oh, if you're in Alabama, you know it's against the law. You can't do that to people anymore. No, I'm gonna wait, doctor. Experiment on me. Look, 47 million people have been vaccinated, and you ain't heard of one of them growing an extra head. Now you're laughing, but I'm telling you. Aren't you ready to get back into worship? Aren't you ready to go back to the ball game? Aren't you ready to go hug Big Mama? Aren't you ready to go visit Papa Pete or whoever? I'm not fussing at you. All I'm saying is, it's God's grace. His grace. Can't a one of us glory in his presence? We get to be here because God has made it so. Charles Grooms was begging with the brothers because he's saying, you don't have to pay for this thing. Just sign up. I don't know where to register. Ghosts? What? If you don't have internet, you got a phone. I don't know any person without a phone. Folk on welfare have a phone. Two of them. Amen. Get in line. God has made it available to you. Reach out and grab it. Amen. That's what he's saying about in verse 29. Verse 30. We're coming on home. This is it. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Let me read it from the New Living Translation. God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy. And he freed us, hallelujah, from sin. Amen. That's the redemption. We get to be who we are because of Christ. Whatever your station is, whatever promotion you have attained, whatever office, Evans, you've attained, whatever places you get to be in, the Lord did that. Just like with Lydia that said, come on, stay with me. The Lord Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's our lesson. May God bless you. May God keep you is our prayer. Amen. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your loving kindness, your goodness, your mercy, your grace. Thank you, Lord God, for the power that is in your word. Teach us how to be hospitable like Lydia. And then remind us that we get to sit at the master's table because you have been hospitable toward us. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray this prayer together. Thank God and amen. God bless you. That is our Wednesday Bible lesson. I'll see you soon.